telling Jesus what to do. You ever do that? God help us. Well, you start telling God what to do. Obviously, she's got issues inside. We don't have the full picture here, but if you know, if she's going to start barking at Jesus, she got a lot going on here. She didn't have the peace of God. And so, verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. I love that. I know for sure it wasn't Martha, Martha. That's not Jesus. He's a God of all peace. He's a source of peace. You know what he said? Martha, Martha. Just brought her down to a place of calm. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs 15:1, I believe. Soft answer. Just go easy. Go easy. Chill out. Chill in, then you can chill out. Within, without. Martha, Martha, thou art careful or anxious, troubled, and troubled about many things. So here we see it isn't just this one issue. There's more going on here. I'm sure she's worked the kitchen many times alone. But there's more going on. We don't know what all's going on. It's not given to us. But Jesus plainly said, you're troubled about many things. And usually, isn't that the case? You got one thing that went wrong, one thing another went wrong, and then another thing, and then your wife says something, and you just can't answer her properly. I do, but maybe you don't. I'm kidding. Lighten up. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? Well, if we go back, we see in verse 39, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So in essence, this is Jesus' word right here, and you and I got it. We didn't have to be in that kitchen or that parlor. We've got Jesus' word right here. And I don't care how distressed at times we may get within, and with the results of barking without, if this is in us, it changes us. Jesus calmed Martha down. I don't know, we're not told about the success she had later on, but certainly he makes the contrast. He draws the contrast between Martha and Mary. And I believe in Philippians chapter 4, this idea of having peace will bring us to one or the other. If you have peace, you won't be Martha. You'll be Mary. Why? Well, you got the Word of God. You got Jesus in you. And there's some specifics here that what I want to review this morning, and hopefully it'll be helped to you. Number one, in verse 4, I see this word begins with R-E, rejoice. Look at that, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So when do you rejoice? Rejoice always. Joyfully centered thought of God and His blessings. Hey, was it verse 3 when he speaks of whose names are in the book of life? If your names are in the book of life, for goodness sakes, you ought to rejoice. But you know what? When we're all in turmoil within or with somebody else, we're not thinking about that wonderful, marvelous truth. And you can almost hear Jesus saying your name. Gary, Gary. Rejoice. Your name's in the book of life. Is there anything bigger? I mean, I don't know what's going on at the time. And it may be a big issue, but when there are issues, we focus so much on them, particularly if there's something inside here. And all our focus, and it becomes just turmoil. And by goodness, if I can't be happy, you're not going to be happy either. What a contrast we have when Jesus, he says, rejoice. Well, rejoice in truths of the Word of God, to be sure. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Again. And notice, now we had dealt with 38 through 42, speaking of Mary and Martha, but look back at verse 20. Verse 20, Jesus speaking, says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice Because, why? Your names are written in heaven. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thought. In other words, there's bigger things. And we're going to get to verse 8. Think on these things. If you reflect, the reason for rejoice, there must be a reason to rejoice. And reflecting, thinking on those things, verse 8, but reflecting on truths from the Word of God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. And from what I read, it's not a very pleasant place. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's flames. There's darkness, flames and darkness. Forever and ever. I'm not going there. I'm going to a place that words can't describe. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. It's going to be so wonderful. Your name's written down. You have a ticket. Your name's written on the ticket. Signed by Jesus in blood. Because of his blood. There's something to rejoice about. I don't care whatever goes on in your life. Rejoice in that truth. Your name is written down. And I'm thankful for that. And if your name's not written down, we need to chat. Let me share from the Word of God how you can get your name written down. And we appreciate that truth. Look at John 3. John 3. Reasons to rejoice. John 3, verse 16 is probably one of the best known verses in all the Bible. But if a person will trust Christ as Savior, notice verse 18. Here's a clear delineation. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it is that you believe or you don't believe. You know, if you have not believed in the name of Jesus Christ, you are under condemnation. You are hell-bound, you see. And boy, if there's reason to have turmoil, you got it. And I remember during that period of time when I was under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and my sin, and that my religion wouldn't save me, that I needed a personal relationship, I need to place my faith and trust in Jesus to save me. I remember the turmoil. I was under such conviction. And part of that conviction was battling against the pride I had, because it was clearly known that I was religious. I had religion growing up. I'm all set. And that was the facade I had in front of me. But there was turmoil behind that facade. Why? I knew I was under the condemnation of God. I was a sinner in need of a Savior. But then I trusted Christ as Savior. It changed everything and gave me peace. It removed the turmoil. It says here, if you believe, 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. I like that. Turn, if you would, to Romans 8. Romans 8. Talk about reasons to rejoice that are far bigger in picture and value than whatever issue you happen to be dealing with. And it's not to minimize some of the things that we go through at times. They can almost be overwhelming. But the truth prevails, and therefore we should rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Notice 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And if you're saved, you're in Christ Jesus. You're saved, born again. I think that's a pretty good thing to rejoice about. Rejoice in his great truth, among many others. Turn to Psalm 139 before we move to another one. Another word with R-E. Psalm 139. Notice these couple of verses with me. This is a lofty thought. David says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." You know what he's saying? I am always in your thoughts, God. Because you can't number the grains of sand. They're limitless, you see, the point he's making. I'm never out of your thoughts, God. Do you realize that? that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a child of God. And not one moment ever passes but that you're not in the thoughts of Almighty God. It means you're pretty important. You're of great value to God. And the time will come and he's going to bring you home to heaven because your name's written down. These are some lofty thoughts. These thoughts can bring joy in the midst of whatever we happen to be going through. And we need to count our blessings. Like the song says, name them one by one, you know. Instead of focusing on this issue that you're dealing with at the time. And again, I'm not minimizing how it could be a very great issue. But there still can be peace. I'm thankful for the God of peace. Amen. So he tells us, and this is one thing we need to do, is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And now let's move down to verse 5. And we'll go to the next word. It says here, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see an R-E word there, verb, action, telling me what to do. Let's put these three words together. Let be known. Let be known. Another word for that is reveal. Let it be known. Reveal. Reveal what? Reveal your moderation unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What's moderation? Self-control. Gentleness. Demonstrate that at all times. In other words, get hold of yourself, man. You know, you start to feel a little hot, upset, tight. Chill. Again, think on these things, verse 8. You know, you got to put your brain in gear. Focus. Determine your focus. I'm going to rejoice in the great truths of the Word of God. And I'm going to reveal, I'm going to let it be known, my moderation, my self-control that God has provided. Because this ain't me. I would have exploded. Let your moderation, and there'll be peace. Now, if we're in the flesh, you know what we do? We just blurt out. We're angry and everyone's going to know it. No peace. You ever done that and had peace? And by the way, are the people around you full of peace at that time? No. So there's an expectation, not only that you rejoice, focus on the right things, but that your self-control is revealed, is demonstrated. Let your moderation be made known, you see. And there be peace in that. With that acknowledgement of truth and application to my heart, there'll be a peace. And who will get glory out of that? Give God the glory, the God of all peace. And he'll give you peace. And you'll have that moment of control and you say, thank you, Jesus. Because of what we control. look at Ephesians 4, back up a chapter, a book, Ephesians 4, 26. I'm talking about honest to goodness peace in your life that can be had. Ephesians 4, notice 26 and 27, the instruction Paul gives to these believers in Ephesus. He says, "Neither be ye angry and sin not." So this anger, remember that anger is an emotion. God never tells us to have emotions. You can't order emotions. If I walked up to Jeff and I said, Jeff, be angry. You know what most people do when you tell them be angry? They smile. You know, you can't order, command emotions. That's why when God says to men, love your wives, it's not about having emotions. He's not ordering emotions. Love is an action. God so loved that he gave, you see. He's not commanding an emotion. Now, true, love, our English word, has all kinds of meanings, and it can refer to the emotions of love. How wonderful. But he's talking about demonstrate your love, you see. And so here, being angry. He says, be angry. There's an allowance that you're going to get hot sometimes. There's going to be things that upset you. But sin not. Control. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Don't let it fester. Don't fuel it. Set it aside. Set it aside. Think on these things, you say. Responsibility we have. Follow the word of God. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. We're to rejoice also, and we're to reveal or let our moderation be made known. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, the Bible says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." He that ruleth his spirit. This is that moderation, that self-control that we're called upon to demonstrate. And in the process of following that instruction, in obedience to it, there comes peace. You don't follow that instruction, you're going to be all distressed, in turmoil. So reveal, let be made known your moderation, your self-control, your gentleness. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Here in Galatians chapter 5, as you well know, we find the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits, they're different words, but they're all part of one thing that the Spirit produces in us. Notice verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." See, patience there, long-suffering. Putting up with others. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, control. Temperance is self-control. "Against such there is no law." Now, this is the fruit of the Spirit of God that dwells within you. And because of that, we have access to the peace of God. So, we're to rejoice. We're to reveal or let be known our moderation. And then notice in verse 6. Verse 6 of our text, Philippians 4, it says, "But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." You say, "Oh, well, see, Pastor, I see a word with R-E. It's request." So that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm come up with a list and request God with my list. One of the things on the list is peace. Peace. No, that's not the R-E word I'm proposing in chapter 6. In verse 6. In verse 6, here's the word I propose. Replace. Replace. And it's banked off of this. You know when it says be careful for nothing, but. Okay. Instead of being all anxious and worried. Okay. But in everything by prayer. But by. So replace this anxiety with prayer. See. But by prayer. Supplications. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So, replace that anxiety with some prayer. Talk to God. Talk to God. Now, remember in Luke 10, we talked about Martha and Mary. Which one was at peace? Mary. And she was listening to Jesus. He provides peace. He's the God of all peace. And I believe that when we get to the last verse, 42, when Jesus calls upon Martha, he says, "Martha, Martha." He brought peace. I believe in his words and his tone and everything. As God, he brought peace to her. Because who is she listening to now? To Jesus. She listened to him. And I'm assuming there's more conversation. Communication. That's what prayer is. Communication. So replace anxiety and concern with prayer. Fear and faith cannot abide together. Either God is in control or he is not. And we're instructed by God to bring our supplications, our prayers to him, our concerns, our needs. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, we're given Jesus' teaching on prayer. And I know most everyone has memorized what we call the Lord's Prayer. We say, "Our Father." Indeed, that's not exactly what Jesus is teaching here. There's nothing wrong with quoting Jesus. You can quote that prayer anytime you want. It'll be fine. But remember now, he's giving a model prayer. He says, verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." I've ranted about this many times. I was instructed growing up to pray a lot, pray, and all these memorized prayers. And to go around the rosary beads. You know, each one counted as a prayer. It's prayer over and over and over. He said the same thing over and over. And here the Bible, you know, when I first saw this verse as an unsaved man, knowing what religion I had had and my idea of prayer, and then here Jesus himself is saying, use not vain repetitions. The heathen do that. You're no more than a heathen in your prayer. I'm telling you, if you've ever gone to the funeral home, generally the Catholic funeral homes, where they have Catholics, at some point, maybe once in the afternoon, twice in the afternoon or evening, same thing, one will be called upon to lead in the rosary, and everybody in the whole thing will drop down to their knees. I'm all for praying. But one will lead and talk to Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then all of the other people go, Holy Mary, Mother of God, be with us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Then he does it again. They do it again. And I'm telling you, if you're walking by, it sounds like chanting. And if you didn't know what they were saying, you say, what are there, a bunch of heathen in there? Jesus said it was. That's not the type of prayer that's going to bring you peace. Real prayer brings peace. Real talking with God brings peace. So Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, when he's giving this instruction, he says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what needs ye have need before ye ask him. After this manner. Okay, so he's not saying after these words. Don't repeat me verbatim. Again, you can repeat Jesus verbatim, and it's going to be okay. But that's not his purpose here. He says, after this manner, after this model prayer, this form, this basic structure of prayer. See? And then he starts right. Therefore, pray. What's he telling you to do? Pray. Yes, God knows every thought in your head. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And he matters. You matter to him. And his thoughts of you number like the sands, the grains of sand on the planet. He thinks about you a lot. He knows what you have need of. He wants to hear you. He wants communication. He wants to commune. And so he says, pray after this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So I see that Jesus says in this model of prayer, when you begin to pray, the first thing to do is praise him. And I know there are those that say, well, I can't really do that. First thing I do when I pray is I confess sin first before I can approach heaven. You know, dear Lord, forgive me of this, forgive me of that. And then going on to other areas in their prayer. I'm not saying that's wrong. You pray any way you like to. God wants to hear prayer. But I can tell you from this model here, I think Jesus says, first thing you need to do is praise and lift Jesus high. And you know what I see in that? In my own personal life, is the more when I lift him up and as I begin prayer, I minimize myself to the point where confession is so necessary. So again, model prayer. But the key point here that we find in Philippians 4, pray, man. Be careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer. So replace that anxiety, that turmoil, and all the trouble going on in you with prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Talk to him. You know what it'll bring? It'll bring a great peace. I'm thankful for that. Always with thanksgiving. Always with thanksgiving. Do I have time for another one? What time is that? Oh, it's 1:15. All right, well, you got what? 1, 2, 3. We got 3 down, 3 to go next Sunday. Don't miss it. You'll be in such turmoil. Oh, yeah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the truths of the Word of God. Thank you for how that you love us and want to help us. Thank you that you understand our frailty, our weakness, our distresses. Thank you that you loved Martha just as much as you loved Mary, that you sought to help her. As you seek to help us, Father, may we be people of joy and peace. May we rejoice always. May we spend great time in prayer. May we exhibit and demonstrate self-control that we might find peace because we followed your plan. Bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.